And greetings, welcome to a mini-size dividing line. Yes, mini. We've got jumbos and megas, and this is going to be a mini-size dividing line. It's going to go as long as we decide it's going to go, basically. and it's going to be quick, because I just got in from California. Unfortunately, you know, I wanted to do a regular-size program, but the heat probe sensor on the front of the Canada Air regional jet wasn't working right, and because there were clouds in L.A., then they couldn't take off until that got fixed. But, of course, by the time they got it fixed, there weren't any clouds in L.A., so it wouldn't have mattered. But anyway, I got in an hour and a half late because of that, and so I need to teach this evening at Phoenix Seminary, and there you go. So I'm under some time pressure, and so I did want to at least give a report on the trip. Many of you were kind enough to help make that happen. The trip I'm referring to is the very quickly arranged jaunt over to Southern California to be on the Dr. Drew show, which will be airing in 2 hours from exactly right now. And what? Four o'clock. Oh, 6 o'clock our time? Yeah, okay, 4 hours from now. All right, whatever. 9 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, recorded last evening. From what I'm told, this is the first time they've ever done this. I also discovered that the studio that we're using is the old Larry King studio. So the ghost of John MacArthur and was there. And it was interesting. Again, the whole reason that when they called me on Saturday and said, would you be willing to do this? And I said, well, if I could be in studio. Because this was born out in this again. There is a transgendered person on Skype in this episode. Might have said four sentences. That's it. If you're not there, you're really not gonna get to participate. You know, you might get literally a couple sentences, and that's it. And if you are there, there is a different, and this is what I had hoped, there is a different level of interaction with, even with the people on the stage. Because it's a person-to-person thing. And in my situation, as I mentioned in the report that I put on Facebook last night, I don't think most people who live in Hollywood are used to dealing with Christians that don't, the terminology I used was turn into vanilla ice cream left in a bowl on a hot Phoenix afternoon immediately upon being challenged. And so, that was the whole thinking behind even having the opportunity. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, this is not my particular area, transgenderism. I mean, it's been thrown on us rather suddenly, in a sense. I would much rather if I made this comment to the producer, if there is going to be a discussion after the Supreme Court redefines and profanes marriage, that would be when, you know, we can go right to it and so on and so forth. But at first, it really looked to me like this was going to be a major setup, just a major ambush-type setup. The reason being, I got word. See, what they started doing with the Dr. Who show is it airs at 9 o'clock. Like tonight, it'll air at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Then it'll re-air tomorrow, I think, at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Both on HLN. And so because the previous day's show re-aired yesterday, Michael Fallon happened to see it at a doctor's office or someplace, I forget where it was, And so he messages me on Facebook and says, just saw Dr. Drew. They played some of Steven Anderson and said they are going to be discussing this on a future program. And so it's like, okay, Steven Anderson. Great. Wonderful. Now, I can understand why. I mean, it's exactly why he does what he does. He just thrives on the notoriety. It's, you know, the same mentality as the street preachers and how they did their thing. And you know, you act like a complete jerk. And when the world says you're a complete jerk, you go, see, I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, just completely ignore what Peter's actually talking about. And so I was very thankful that I knew that it was a possibility that that was going to happen, because I had the opportunity outside of the pressure of being in the studio to think through what am I going to say? How am I going to respond to the playing of Steven Anderson? And so at least I had that. Now, it's interesting. I was talking to the big producer, the guy who's in charge, basically. And he said they weren't going to play Steven Anderson, but they started with Steven Anderson. So I'm not sure what that was all about. There were a couple of things that I'll mention that were pretty weird. But so you go in to CNN, and there's a green room. And I've never been in a green room that was actually green. And it's the same room that the... In fact, have you looked to see if the Facebook video is up? I bet you haven't. I think you need to do that. I haven't had the opportunity today. I suppose I could have done that sitting at the gate during the delay, but didn't think to do so. But I would imagine that the video of the post show is up, and maybe you could find that. But anyway. That's where the video that they had done, that where they had gone after me big time a couple weeks ago, same room. All right. So I'm sitting there, and in walks this fella, and I say, you look really familiar. He was the man that had been on Skype when I was on last time, and here he is in person. The fella that had been a woman for 8 years and then, quote-unquote, transitioned back and was saying, I regretted it. He and his wife come in, and lo and behold, they live right here in Phoenix, not very far from where I live. And so we started talking, and it was interesting. He, at one point, he said, well, yeah, that Bible guy they had on last time, he was toxic. And I could tell his wife knew who I was. And I'm like, well, that was me. No, that wasn't you. That wasn't you. Yeah, it was me. He went on the block after the couple that I was on. And, again, it was almost not worth the time, because he was on for a very, very, very brief period of time. And then this person walks in, dressed as a woman, very obviously a male. You know, just look, when you've got XY chromosomes, it can be seen that you've got XY chromosomes. And this person was a reporter, and thought, when I was listening, that this person said they're going to be on a different show, ended up being on this show. In fact, when they took me out of the studio, he took my place and commented on stuff afterwards. And so I was just getting the feeling that there were going to be more people on the program than I thought. Well, so we, you know, you try to get the audience excited and stuff. They've got people that get them all, you know, laughing and do things like that. And so when they finally brought us in, they had me sit down front where they put the people, because they have cameras and lights for these specific seats down front in the first row. And right behind me come two people that I can tell there's something going on here. Well, they're both transgendered. They are a brother-sister who've gone the opposite directions of each other. And they're seated right across the aisle from me. And so I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. Now, the panel was different. Dr. Drew's sidekick, who I guess also does radio with him, was the same guy. He's there for comic relief, primarily. Though, interestingly enough, in the post-show video, he actually said something serious, and I then picked up on that because he was sitting next to me. I was last person. I could tell they were wanting to wrap up. I didn't have much time to sample anything. The brother-sister transgendered pair had talked about self-love, and man, I was sitting there arguing myself, do I go after this? Do I talk about this? But unfortunately, what happened was they just went down the line of the guests. They were way down there. By the time we got down here, I knew it would have been somewhat difficult to go back to that because other topics had come up. And the other thing was that the two women from the previous program were replaced by two women, one of which it was very difficult to tell the difference between her and the Sam Tracker woman, who I did see briefly. In fact, I think she recognized who I was and didn't look pleased to see me, but anyways. But then there was a woman named Vanessa, a black woman, who sat right next to Dr. Drew. And she openly said, I'm a Christian, and I don't agree with this perspective, not me, but with the idea of transgenderism, so on and so forth. And so it totally changed the atmosphere once she started speaking. It really did change the atmosphere. And one of the audience commentators turned out to be a Christian. So that changed everything, because that had not happened on the first program at all. There just wasn't. It was me and everybody else. And some folks from Jeff Durbin's Apologia Church. It's just hard to do. I'm trying, because people wonder who I'm talking about. It's Apologia, but anyway. We're in SoCal, and so they got tickets. And so there were a couple times I said something, and there were at least a few lonely, you know. And when a few people started, a couple other people are like, you know. So it was interesting. A different dynamic. There was a different dynamic this time around. So we come in, we sit down. I've got an earpiece in. And a microphone and an earpiece in. And I don't remember if it was the big producer guy or the woman producer, but they were getting the audience into it, and they asked the woman who was seated next to me to come down and stand next to him and said, now, when you want to react, you need to react big time on TV. So when someone says something that you disagree with and you don't like, then you all stand. He has everybody stand up, and he says, what you do is you go like this, and he points. He's standing right in front of me. He points right at me and goes, oh, do it with me. And he has this woman and everybody do this, and he's pointing right at me. He doesn't do it to the transgendered folks sitting next to me. No, it's, oh, you know, and he's just looking at me really oddly. This guy started the Sally Jesse Raphael show, give you some idea. And he started Maury. Or the other guy. One of the two salacious ones. Anyways, So I'm sitting here going, this is weird. And he's the one who told me we're not doing the Steven Anderson thing. So we finally get started. Goes to Dr. Drew, and this is the first time they've ever recorded a program. They've always been live up to now. They record the program. They get started. Dr. Drew actually has to do it twice because messed up on the first one, so they just start over again. And go straight from the introduction right into Steven Anderson. Right into Anderson talking about how Bruce Jenner should die and go to hell and all the rest of this stuff. And you know, you can hear the audience, oh, and I'm just sitting there going, And so Drew goes to the panel, and the panel, oh, this is terrible, this is horrible, this is why people commit suicides, da-da-da-da-da-da. I think then he went to the brother-sister team next to me, and then finally comes to me. And I knew what I was going to say. I said, I think it's a shame we're giving Steven Anderson any airtime at all. It's exactly what he wants, why he does what he does. And besides that, he's preached more sermons against me by name than he has anybody else. And that changed everything. All of a sudden, instead of, you're sort of on his side, huh? When the reality is, he's consigned me to the flames of hell as well. For many different reasons. So it just gives, you know. So we started getting into some conversations, and Dr. Drew heard some of my concerns. We raised the issue of worldview. We talked about what gives meaning to life. I was able to talk about God's created order. I was able to talk about the fact this is a fallen world, because he brought up the issue of genetic mistakes, genetic errors. And I said, you know, Dr. Drew, we're talking about a tiny percentage here. No one we've been talking about actually has any chromosomal abnormalities. That's just really not relevant. And like I said, they went to someone on Skype that I could not see. They weren't projecting it anywhere. And, I'll take that back. I could over in one of the cameras now that I think about it. But that person talked about hatred. And what was really interesting was, as soon as it came back from that person talking about hatred, Vanessa, and I think even Cathcart, the guy, both on the panel said, hey, I want to make sure people understand, we're not talking about the pastor over here, we're not talking about him being hateful. And they made a clear distinction. And again, I don't think that would have happened if I hadn't been there. I don't think that would have happened. I think that was different. Then they had a woman make a comment from the audience standing right next to me. And she says, I'm a Christian. I believe God made male and female. I think this is good for mankind. I wish that there had been people. And Dr. Drew says, well, they're sitting right next to you. Go ahead and talk. She turns to them and says, we love you. I wish there had been people who could have prayed for you. I think there's something better. I'm sitting here going, whoa. And evidently there were some people just down from me, because I was hearing an amen every once in a while when I was speaking. I found out later that there were a couple people there. So there was a very different dynamic this time around than there had been last time. There was an interesting conversation between myself and Mr. Cathcart, because he actually made the argument. You all only got less than 4 hours to wait. He actually made the argument that since Jesus, now I'm almost hesitating for a moment because Rich is talking to somebody on the phone and I wanted to hear this, but he made the argument that because Jesus could be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but doesn't that mean that we could be different genders? And I'm like, no, sir, that's not the doctrine of the Trinity. Well, that's what I thought, but didn't Jesus say, no, sir? So there was a brief period where it was just, Basic Christianity 101. No, Ms. Catherine. Don't think that was right either. No, not. So it was interesting. Anyway, so what finally happened toward the end was I did get to say, I did get to mention, you know, here's Bruce Jenner, myself, we're both grandparents. And I cannot imagine my changing that relationship to my granddaughter just simply because I think it'll make me happier. And I got into what happiness really is and the fact that character and integrity and reflecting the very glory of God in the way that He has made us, this is so much more important than the transitory feeling of happiness. And Dr. Drew jumped in and said, now there, you and I completely agree, because the happy life is not what we need to be looking for. And he went off on that. And that was how the last segment that I was on ended. So then they came in, had me come out, went back into the green room, and I watched the rest of it on a monitor. And Cathcart said some really off-color stuff. I mean, after I'm done, you might want to just bail out, because he said some really off-color stuff. They may get rid of that. I don't know how they can, to be honest with you, because they recorded it to fit right into the slots. And so that's why I wasn't overly worried about editing. Though it's possible. It's possible. I'm going to be watching, so I'll see. I'll be able to tell if there was anything edited out. But then we did the after show. And like I said, what happened was, as they came down the line, Vanessa again made some comments about hate and love and things like that. And Cathcart picked up on that and talked about the happiness thing and talked about, yeah, you know, it's not just being happy. It's being a real person and having integrity and stuff like that. So I picked up on that. But I could tell already, if you look at the after show videos, they're normally 3 to 4 minutes max. We were at about 6, I'd say. And so I knew that I had to be very quick or I was going to be interrupted. Well, I went with what Cathcart had said, expanded upon that, and then Drew jumped in and said, we're in complete agreement on that point. We are in complete agreement on that issue. Because remember, his specialty is addiction medicine. Is dealing with people who are addicted. So he knows that if people do not have something, if you don't call them to something higher, if you just simply say, just do what feels good, that's the last thing you say to an addict, for crying out loud. And so that's how it all wrapped up. And I thanked everybody for, you know, people that were there, and headed out into the really lousy Hollywood traffic, and it is lousy Hollywood traffic in Southern California. So there you go. There's basically what took place. And again, would I rather it just be Dr. Drew and I down there talking? Well, of course, but that will never happen. And I can tell you why it'll never happen, because in essence, in our culture today, and the producer confirmed this to me, in our culture today, if you want to keep someone from hitting the button on the remote, then you have to be shifting camera angle, person speaking, every about 15 to 20 seconds. That's about how long the attention span is. And it has to be rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat type stuff. They're just, obviously, our listening audience is not their listening audience. And it's a shame, but you have to make the decision, is it even worthwhile? And I decided that via Skype, it really wasn't. Now let me modify that. I mean, if something were to come up to where you know, we're doing it in 2 hours. Somebody bailed out. I mean, it's like the Supreme Court does its thing, and they're going to do something, and one of their guests bailed out, something like that. We'd love to have you give a Christian. I probably would still do that. I know that that's going to put me at a great disadvantage, but at least when they first come to you, you can say something. Now, is that the best way to do things? No. Is that how our society is today? Yeah. Will we eventually lose even the opportunity to say that? Yeah. So, you have to, if you can speak quickly, if you can think quickly, maybe all these debates, all these years have just prepared me to do that. I don't know. I'd have to look at each opportunity individually. But, almost forgot. I knew I was going to forget something. And I did mention this in the report. They played a pretty lengthy, I'd say probably 30 seconds or more, clip of this program. And what I don't remember, and I'm going to be looking, if I hope I can make the stream work this evening, because you can actually stream it through the CNN Go app. You have to sign in through your cable provider. But you can actually stream it. I'm going to try to stream it this evening, even at class, because this was our conversation at the last class, so it fits. So I'll be watching, but I forgot to notice whether they sort of zoomed in and cut off. See, I'm looking at the highly pixelated screen up there, where what we call the banner or whatever bug, or I don't know what we call it, but or it says, I think it says, the Dividing Line, Alpha Omega Ministries. It's got the web address. I can't see that right now, but I think that's what's there. And I don't know if they zoomed in so that that wouldn't be there or whether they just left it. I don't know. But you could tell that what they're trying to do is sort of put me on the hot seat. Because I said, transgenders, homosexuals, heterosexuals, all of us are under the wrath of God, and we need a Savior. And I'm sitting here going, okay, I know why they chose it, but thank God they did. Because not only did I get to then say basically twice as much as I would have gotten to say before, because now I get to respond to me, having said the truth, but my hope is that someone's going to look at that, and they said, on your own program, you said this, and there might be some people in the audience to go, program? And, you know, at the very least, you know, Google James White program or something like that. What does can you find the Dividing Line if you put James White program into Google? I mean, I don't know. Well, I can't do anything about it right now. You don't have a web browser? You can sort of look at that. That was what my suggestion was there. Anyways, who knows? Who knows? What? First one? So you can find the Dividing Line if you do that. Yeah, there you go. All right. See? So, who knows? We could have folks that had never heard of us, and at least they tune in here, they're going to get a whole lot more information than they would in any other context like that. So there you go. Once again, my thanks to everybody who made it possible for us to just drop everything, get the flights, the rental car, stuff like that, yes.
This is interesting. By the way, they have not posted the Facebook portion, which doesn't surprise me. They're on the ball, and they want to make sure that goes
after the show airs. Oh, yeah. Duh.
But you had me Google that. Our website's the first one up. The webcast is the second one up. Some guy that does environmental studies in Colorado is third one up. Fourth one up, James White on the Dr. Drew Show, YouTube.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go. Interesting. Is that Jeff's? Is that a Apologia? It's what? Oh, it's them?
It's Asher DeColeta.
Oh, I don't know that.
He was posting the different episodes on Twitter right after the show.
Got it. Okay. All right. So there you go. Will we ever have the opportunity to do it again? I don't know. I'll guarantee you one thing. I will say this, and we'll sign off and It'll be the mini DL. But if I had chosen to ignore the flow of conversation and actually interact with people and done what some people think I should do, and that is every time the camera came to me, just try to put out the Twitter version of the four spiritual laws. Ignore what's being said and just throw out some kind of gospel phrase. If I did that, then I can guarantee you I would never get to do it again. There would be no opportunities for anything more beyond that. And I think that speaking the gospel in our culture is more than soundbiting it. Being able to say God created men and women for his glory. That's a gospel phrase. Does that explain the gospel? No. But it is. It requires the gospel to be understood. And I believe God can use that to cause people to think and to... You know, I wouldn't do this if I was an Arminian. Wouldn't do this if I was an Arminian. I would not have the foundation to trust that God could use what he does use to actually bring about his purposes. If I was an Arminian, couldn't happen. So I'm glad that I have that understanding. So with that, there's a report on the program. It'll be coming up in 3.5 hours. Again, I'm only on blocks A and B, I think. After that, watch at your own risk. What can I say? But then watch for the posting of the after show video on Facebook, where there'll be just a little bit more. But again, it's 5, 6, 7 minutes at the most, which was interesting. There you go. Now I'm gonna be out of town the rest of this week, and Lord willing, next week should be pretty normal, and that'll be the last normal week for a while. We've got lots of traveling to do, so we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. I will be speaking at Faith Community Church in Tucson Saturday night and Sunday morning. If you're down there, come on by. I'll be speaking on creation, which is sort of relevant to our subject. Look forward to that. So we'll see you next time on The Dividing Line. God bless.